Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. And when I say you're on the other side of the glass, it makes it sound like you've come down with some kind of a contagion. You're okay, though, today, right?
Well, as long as it's not a display case glass.
No, it is not a display case, yes, that's for sure. It is Friday, December 2nd, 2016. Today's program, by the way, re-airs on KVOI, a second airing of today's show, and that will be tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon at 4. So if you're listening, running errands on Saturday afternoon, and you're listening right now for the first time, hope your weekend's going well. Hope your Saturday's going well. Anyway, we are live during the weekdays, Monday through Friday, here on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We have worldwide live streaming. That means if you're near a computer, you can hear the program really anywhere in the world on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Friday, we like to do a big shout-out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, and the founder, editor, publisher is with me in studio, so I can thank him personally. Thank you, Dylan, for your support.
Absolutely, and thank you for yours.
Well, thank you. Inside Tucson Business supports the Buckmaster Show, as does the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Kathleen Erickson is with us. Kathleen was recently named. In fact, she's only been on the job 45 days, starting as the Chief Executive Officer for the Downtown Tucson Partnership. The partnership is a nonprofit committed to making Downtown Tucson the most dynamic urban center in the Southwest. Kathleen Erickson is the partnership's fifth Executive Officer, following Michael Keith. Michael was served 6 years at the helm of the 18-year-old organization following a global search that involved really 100 candidates. Kathleen Erickson relocated to Tucson from Jackson, Michigan. Her career has focused on revitalizing downtowns and historic neighborhoods in Michigan and California. Kathleen, thank you for coming in. Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you, Bill. I'm thrilled to be here.
And Dylan, again, thank you for your support and coming in today.
You bet.
Kathleen, very interested to hear your impressions of downtown Tucson. You had not visited Tucson before, so it's kind of from an outside perspective. What did you think of the downtown area?
Well, first off, I was very impressed at how vibrant and active the downtown is and how many restaurants you have.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I just received my scale from the moving truck from Michigan yesterday, put it on the bathroom floor, and I will not tell you what the results were.
Oh, my goodness. So you'd been scale-less.
Yes.
And maybe it was a good thing, right, as
Probably.
Far as you...
Moving to the city of gastronomy, yes.
I know, city of gastronomy. So the movers really just made it to town, okay.
Yes, they did, yeah.
So did you find the downtown kind of a funky place?
That's a great way to describe how I felt. It was funky, eclectic, vibrant. It just had a really fun vibe and energy to it, very unique. And I've seen some marketing materials out there that have promoted this uniquely Tucson, and I tell you, they're right on the target with that one.
Did it remind you of your work in Ventura, California?
I think that Tucson is definitely unique on its own. In its own right, there's many things in common with Ventura, California, many issues, but no, not so much. It's definitely stands alone, Tucson, and in a very positive way, I mean that.
Dylan, come on in.
There are a number of people, and I somewhat share their concerns, who are worried that downtown Tucson is becoming a little bit too glossy, a little bit too commercialized. Mm-hmm. And we're losing some of the local small businesses that really formed a foundation for, you know, some of the arts and culture to percolate up. Small art galleries, small theater companies, the dive bars where so many young bands played and got their start are vanishing because it's just become too expensive, rent-wise especially, to run that kind of business down there. Mm-hmm. And how do we balance the need to have more people down there with more businesses that are, you know, successful and making money with the sort of funky, you know, arts and culture, you know, scene that is really what Tucson has been so long known for? That's one of the reasons I moved here, low those many years ago, was Tucson's reputation as the cultural capital of Arizona, and especially because of the music scene.
And you're a fellow Midwesterner.
Yeah, well, I finished my last 2 years of high school were in Arizona, so I was already most of the way here and pretty much out of the snow, but that's why I came to Tucson.
So I've got Wisconsin to the right of me, Michigan to the left of me, and I'm Illinois, Chicago in the middle. So we kind of covering the Midwest here today. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dylan, interrupting you. Go ahead. Response to Dylan's question.
Well, I think, first of all, and if that is something that, you know, the community is interested in retaining and helping to encourage, then I think, you know, voicing that that's a value is important. And then making sure that it's a priority moving forward, we need to help small businesses, encourage them to develop and grow and be successful, creating an environment where small businesses, independent businesses and restaurants and arts and cultural venues can be successful and not only be successful but thrive in. That would be the job of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And I think by doing that, we can help retain that flavor that you're looking for.
What does the partnership do specifically?
Wow. It's
what is your main focus?
The main focus is to create a vibrant and successful downtown, economically viable downtown. We do that through five main areas of focus: downtown property and physical improvements, and that could be anything from buildings to streetscape, signage, providing an accessible downtown so that people can find their way into the downtown, park easily, walk around easily, find things, feel safe in the downtown, keeping it nice and clean.
So parking is a component?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anything downtown related that that would or could be an issue for downtown could be an issue for the Downtown Tucson Partnership to broach. Also, marketing and promotions is a big area that we focus on. That would include events and communications and doing interview shows like this one today. Mm-hmm. Also,
outreach,
residential development, retail development, resource development, trying to create an environment where we have, you know, enough resources to help those small businesses and cultural venues, and then also relationship building, and that's a really big piece, I think.
All right, let's go to our live line right now. Our friend Jim, I believe, is on the line. It's Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim, how are you? You're with Kathleen Erickson.
Hi, Bill. Thank you. Kathleen, one of the good things that is happening is more and more residential property is being developed downtown, and along with that, El Rio Medical Services. But guess what downtown doesn't have? A pharmacy. Is anybody talking to CVS or Walgreens or even one of the compounding pharmacies here in town to put some pharmacy downtown?
Good question.
That is a good question. And no, I'm not aware of anyone that has spoken with the pharmacy, although I did hear rumored that El Rio and Tucson Medical Center, when they moved into one, or when they're moving into One West, they may be considering a small pharmacy as part of that. Did you hear that?
I don't know if Jim had heard that. Jim had to run. Oh. But it does bring up another question about downtown has kind of blossomed with locally owned businesses. We don't have a lot of chains. Jim was mentioning like a CVS or a Walgreens downtown. Mm-hmm. We've kind of grown this downtown from a really organic local point of view. Mm-hmm. Do you think the national chains are going to start to look at downtown Tucson?
Oh, I think we're on everyone's radar. And I do strongly believe in having that local base in a downtown. But I do think that I am open to a balance in that equation. I think that larger corporations, when they do come into a community, although I am, don't get me wrong, I'm fully in support of local small businesses and want to support that. But if a CVS were to open up, it does give people a sense of, they feel like the environment is a good environment to invest in, so more local people would invest in it. And there's a sense of security going to a place that, you know, everybody already knows about.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. We're coming up on 12:15. It is the Buckmaster Show, and on Friday, some of our bumper music, our intermission music. Well, we're going to go back into the music vaults for you, and I picked this one out, Tom. Brings back a lot of memories. One Fine Day from the Chiffons. I don't know if they were a one-hit wonder. I know you're saying they had several hits. Okay, let's hear One Fine Day. Two or three hits, you said.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And after we heard from One Fine Day with the Chiffons, I was asking Dylan Smith, do they have any other hits?
Yeah, the other song that's exactly the same.
And
it's a really good song. That's why they did it twice with different titles.
I love He's So Fine. So, yeah, perfect timing there, Mr. Tom.
And then you've got George Harrison with My Sweet Lord, which is...
Sounds very much.
It's exactly a complete ripoff of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Dylan Smith. Dylan is from TucsonSentinel.com, and we urge folks to support TucsonSentinel.com. Giving Tuesday was Tuesday, this past Tuesday. So I hope some people made a donation to nonprofit TucsonSentinel.com.
We're very grateful to those readers who on Tuesday took part in that and helped us out, helped us keep going along. Over the past month or so, we've seen a pretty unusual uptick in people donating, signing up to have a subscription and give us a little bit of money every month to help keep us going, help keep independent journalism alive and well, and watchdogging everything that's going on in this town.
Oh, you do a good job.
Thank you.
Kathleen Erickson is with us. Kathleen, over the past 45 days, really just getting her feet wet as the chief executive officer for the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Kathleen, what we were speaking with, I was talking with Dylan during the break. I asked him, too many restaurants. It's kind of the market will sort of weed itself out when it comes to that, do you think?
Yes. That's usually what does happen in a downtown, and that's the first sign of a healthy, vibrant downtown is the restaurants come in and the entertainment venues. So that's a very encouraging thing to see. And so we're trying to work with the restaurants right now and get a handle on exactly who is downtown, help market them. We're putting together a restaurant guide with a map, and we're going to be promoting the restaurant heavily to exterior areas, not only in Tucson, but out and beyond. So
now, what about the downtown, the first Saturday or third Saturday or whatever Saturday, getting people to come down? What is the latest thinking with promotion? What are some of your thoughts about how the downtown should be promoted?
Well, there's so many events that are going on in the downtown, and we need to have more cohesive and comprehensive approach to getting the word out there about the downtown. And
because it becomes confusing when there's so many different, you would rather see kind of a crystallization of what you are promoting, in effect.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No,
but
you're right, though, exactly. Yeah. Make it easy for people to decide to hear what's going on, where can they find this information, a general calendar, and then also receive the information in their inbox if they so desire.
All right, Dylan, go ahead.
There are a lot of people. Here's another one of those lot of people questions. And this is not a concern I share so much, but there are a lot of people who live not near downtown, people on the east side or in Oro Valley or down in Green Valley.
Central foothills.
Who wonder why we're putting all of this money into downtown instead of sprinkling it about the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a little bit more skepticism I've seen across the country about downtowns as a catalyst for economic development. Is that something that is an idea that is holding up?
Oh, absolutely. Downtowns are, the central to any community. They're the core of that city. And when people go and visit a city, you go to their downtown, and then you make consciously or subconsciously, you make a determination of how you think about the entire community based on what the downtown looks like. So I think it's very important that all communities take care of their downtowns and make sure that they're representative of what they would like people to think of that city.
Let's talk about the next 60 days of your very young tenure here. What do you have on the agenda? What can we look for?
One of the things I'm going to be focusing on is relationship building. I think that there's a lot of relationships that can be built, strengthened, and also repaired. Relationships with neighborhood groups, relationships with the downtown merchants, relationships with developers, and just community members at large. But those first three areas of relationships, I think, really need to have some attention.
What else do you have on your list?
Marketing and promotions. That's a huge one. And we'll be putting together that restaurant guide like I told you about. Also, I'd like to promote a downtown happy hour so people can go online and actually see what's going on between 4 and 6 and where should they go. Make it real easy for them. Mm-hmm. I'd like to orchestrate a foodie tour in the downtown and attract people from other areas of the community and actually have a bus tour come to the downtown and take them around downtown and also share the streetcar with them and encourage people to come back. A comprehensive media listing, we already have that put together. Regular press releases, so that's all in the marketing and promotions. In ways of property and physical improvements, I'd like to really focus on Hakami Park and work on the management, the programming, security, and cleanliness in that area and revitalize, or I should say activate that public space. Our team would like to identify all the wireless hotspots that are currently available and promote the same and encourage extended parking hours and help the ParkWise and the city and the county to promote the parking and make it easier for people to park.
How about litter? Does it look pretty good to you right now? The litter down to the is it a fairly clean downtown?
Absolutely, you'd be hard pressed to try and find something to pick up on the streets because I do it myself. But what I think does where we can improve is sanitizing the sidewalks with steam cleaners. So
right.
You know, we're looking at right down to the details. So no, there's not any garbage, but there's always room for improvement.
Dylan.
Your organization has gone through some budget troubles, and things seem to have waxed and waned a little bit over the years, and that's really especially played into what everybody calls the purple people,
the
security folks, and guides for people who can't find something. And how many of those folks do you have on staff now?
We have approximately 30.
Is that enough? Is that enough people to do the job that you expect to be done by them?
I think for the basic cleanliness and safety of the area, I think it's adequate. But in terms of a more ambassadorial role, I think that we need a lot more people. And I would look to volunteers. In fact, that's one of the next things on the next 60 days is putting together a team of ambassadors. And these would be, I'm thinking that probably a lot of downtown residents to come out and volunteer and be posted on various sidewalks, especially during larger events, but at all times to help people, to give them the restaurant guide, to direct them, to just be a smiling, friendly face in a purple shirt, most likely, until our brand changes.
And a cowboy hat, maybe. And,
there we go. That's cute.
That might be appropriate
yeah.
as well. Something that could be borrowed from when I arrive up at Calgary, up Alberta, at the airport up there. Because, you know, they do this big rodeo up there, the Stampede, Calgary Stampede. Well, year-round, when you arrive at the Calgary airport, there are these wonderful folks, these wonderful volunteers with cowboy hats. You get off your plane. May I help you find a particular gate? It really does make a big impression.
It sure does.
It really does. Let's go to our live line. Jim, I'm going to bring you in a little early. Jim Nintzel, senior writer. It doesn't mean he's an old guy. He's been at the Weekly, Tucson Weekly forever. Jim, we've got Kathleen Erickson. She is the new chief executive officer of the Downtown Partnership. And Jim, I wondered if you had any questions for Kathleen. You've certainly seen a lot downtown coming and going, right?
I have, and I certainly apologize because I don't know what you guys have been talking about.
That's okay.
I just want to repeat a question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But as long as I have the opportunity. You know, we are seeing some changes in downtown with a few restaurants that were very ballyhooed initially with Proper and Bianco closing their doors. And is there some concern you've got a little oversaturation of the restaurant in downtown at this point?
We're kind of chuckling because we sort of addressed that, but go ahead. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I think this is a good thing that we have so many restaurants in the downtown. I don't think we've reached a point of saturation yet, but I think we have reached a point where if you're going to survive in the downtown, you have to be on your top game, and that's a good thing. And that's not to indicate that any restaurant that's closed wasn't. That's not what I'm trying to say, but it is creating an area where people have to, there's a competition, and you have to be at the best level. So we are, what we have now downtown and what we'll continue to have is the creme de la creme, the best of the best, and that's wonderful.
All right. Jim, you stay on the line. We will be back to you after we take our break. Jim Nintzel from The Weekly. Dylan Smith will also stick around for our Friday roundtable. And we're going to let Kathleen Erickson go, but we do appreciate her coming in so our listeners can meet you and hear a little bit about your vision, what you hope to accomplish in the next 60 days. Sounds like a pretty ambitious agenda. And good luck with that, Kathleen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Kathleen Erickson, Downtown Tucson Partnership CEO. All right, it's exactly 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We continue now after our little break from Popsicles and Icicles, a group called the Mermaids. Now, this was truly a one-hit wonder, but I liked the hit, so let's hear it.
Popsicles, icicles.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen, plus the Buckmaster Show National Security and Foreign Affairs contributor, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of the Shirelles dedicated to the one I love. And it kind of sounds a little... Tom, join me here quickly, Tom Fairbanks, because perhaps you remember this, because certainly Dylan Smith and Jim Nintzel probably don't. Do you remember kind of something called the Stroll?
Oh, you bet.
Yeah. From the kind of early 60s, sort of a dance thing. Before Chubby Checker had the twist, we did something called the Stroll. Am I crazy about this?
Oh, you remember this? It was a line dance.
That's it.
And yes. You'd have the gals lined up on one side, the guys lined up on the other side. And in turn, the couple at the end would stroll between the two lines. Yeah. And they'd each take turns like that.
Well, I knew you would remember. I don't want to say, you know, you're old enough that you would be old enough to remember that.
He's just a cultural historian.
No, I'm old. I'm old enough to remember.
All right. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Jim Nintzel is with us. Jim is with the Tucson Weekly. Jim has been with the Weekly a long time, and he writes his column, The Skinny. Dylan Smith is here. And in The Skinny, you're talking about, you know, we've just concluded one election, Mr. Nintzel. We're looking now toward the city election, which is coming up next year. And really the focus will be on the Karen Ulick Ward
3
coming up. Correct, Jim?
Yeah, we'll have at least one new council member, and open seats are a lot more interesting to cover, certainly, than an incumbent running for re-election, because the rate of incumbency re-election on the Tucson City Council is awfully high. I think the only...
It's 114%, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I think the only person since the mid-70s to actually get... the only Democrat, excuse me, to get knocked off the city council in since the mid-70s was Nina Trasoff by Steve Kosachik, who, of course, then flipped over to the Republican Party, or the former Republican Party to the Democratic Party shortly after getting elected. And we got Karen Ulick stepping down after 3 terms. And so far, the candidates stepping forward to run for that on the Democratic side are two people, Morgan Abraham, who's a young 25-year-old political junkie who served in student government at the U of A and works in a real estate company that does some rehabs of multi-housing apartment buildings, and is now jumping into the city council race. I guess he also ran the opposition campaign to Prop 123, which was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be at the end of the day. So Morgan will have probably a pretty smooth political operation. There's also a teacher at Mansfield Junior High named Felicia Chow, who I spoke to earlier this week, who real interesting background. She's 45 years old and has served in both the teaching roles and administrative roles, and has been on the Tucson City Council Citizens Advisory Police Board. And she's also interested in tossing her hat into the ring. So we'll see what comes out of that, or if more candidates emerge to jump for that opportunity to serve and to get into an open seat to situation. And there's a libertarian out there whose name unfortunately escapes me at the moment, but I'm sure we could figure that out relatively quickly if we need to.
It's Julian Massa, I believe.
That's it.
There you
That's
go.
It. You got my column in front of
me. I have your column in front of me.
You have me at a disadvantage. But yeah, and I haven't, I tried to give them a call, but no one picked up the phone. When I called and there was no way to leave a message. So, but we'll see how a libertarian does, and presumably the Republican Party will field a candidate. So wait and see.
It's kind of interesting that Matt Kopech has decided not to run for that. He was, widely thought that he would. I'm pretty sure he thought long and hard about it. He's somebody that used to work in that office.
Right.
He's a state legislator who is lost his primary, so he's a legislator for about another 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But somebody who's been a long-time Democratic activist and quite a bit of experience in city elections and working in city government, but is taking a pass.
Hmm. Yeah, I talked to him as well, and he said that he did give it a lot of thought. And I think he and Morgan are friends, and they were kind of going back and forth, and I guess they drew straws, and Morgan got the short straw to run for city council.
One of our listeners has sent me an email, and perhaps you gentlemen can answer this question. If the city of Tucson holds a May election for the sales tax increase, will this be, in quotes, a special election, Jim and Dylan?
Yeah, it would be. That is one of the dates that is set aside to hold a special election. There are certain dates throughout the year that are, in Arizona, sort of reserved to be election days if you so choose.
Part two of the question, if so, will your guests be honest enough to admit at least one of the reasons for this will be because typically these elections have lower voter turnout and it's easier to get things passed?
Absolutely. That's politics. That's how things work.
Jim, about the special election, we had Steve Kasacek on the show this week, and he was talking a little bit about the fact that we may have another on the sales tax, this thing for not this measure that would raise the half-cent sales tax for preschool. So that's going to be that could be very confusing for the voters.
Yeah, then that'll be on the November ballot. They'll still be collecting signatures in May to determine whether they can actually get on the ballot or not. But it will certainly be something humming in the background. And I think the city, another reason the city might be thinking about that May election beyond the fact that typically it is easier to get things passed in these special or extra special, whatever you want to call them, elections, very special elections, is that I think they want to jump the gun and not have competing measures on the ballot in November. I also talked to Steve for my radio show on that'll air on Sunday afternoon on KXCI, and he was talking about that special, the preschool proposition as well. The state has really cut back on the support for subsidized daycare for low-income parents. They used to provide, I think, tens of millions of dollars, and they have pretty much backed out of it altogether. There's some money coming from the tobacco fund tax from a group called First Things First, and that's matched by the federal government. But the state's contribution has been very low, and the waiting list around the state has grown tremendously for these state-subsidized child care programs. And, I think you've got a fundamental situation here where if you actually want moms, particularly single moms, to actually pull themselves off the welfare rolls and go to work and get jobs and move forward in their careers, you've got to provide them with reliable child care, because otherwise it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to go and work and not even have enough money to pay the bills to have a safe place to have their kids. And they can't keep a job depending on family members or neighbors or whatever to watch their children, because that's just not a reliable situation. And having a kid now in a preschool program, I can tell you that the advances my kid's making in the school that she's in are extraordinary. The kid's outsmarting me at this point, which some of your listeners may not be surprised about. However, I certainly think it's a worthwhile program and is a great idea. Whether or not the voters will end up supporting the idea of a half-cent sales tax, especially if they raise it for the police and fire capital needs and the streets, as the program in the May election is going to be, remains to be seen.
It really is, and I'm personally pretty on the fence about raising the sales tax specifically to pay for child care for low-income folks. But I don't think any of us can deny that it is a huge hurdle for people who end up basically having to pay almost as much money as they're earning to take care of their kids while they have a job. You know, it does make it unfeasible to go be employed at that point.
Jim, what do you think of the Monsanto vote that's been put off till the early in the year by the Pima County Board of Supervisors? Will it make any difference to Monsanto? From what I understand, they've purchased. I think they've purchased the land, right, Dylan? They've already got the land. Is this a big deal, that this Monsanto vote?
You know, I really enjoyed Blake Morlock's column over at the Sentinel this week about Monsanto and whether or not the county should move forward with this support of their request for what is it, a free trade zone, a fair trade zone,
foreign trade zone is the legal term, which is a federally government granted by the federal government through the feds and the state. The county just sort of says, yeah, we like this idea, you should do it, or no, we hate this. And the people that actually process the application kind of take that under advisement. That's the Board of Supervisors does not get the final say on whether Monsanto, one, moves here. They can't stop them from moving here. Mm-mm. Or gets this waiver of property taxes.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to keep in mind, a lot of people are saying, oh, this is going to be a giant tax break for Monsanto, and while they wouldn't, if they get the designation, they would pay less in taxes than they otherwise might, but right now that land is paying next to nothing in taxes. I think $2,000 a year.
It's vacant land, yeah.
The amount would jump tremendously whether they get that designation or not. I think I can't recall the number off the top of my head, but it's an enormous amount that's going to be going in. And they did also give some money, extra money, to the Marana School District to make up for some of the losses that the school district would be receiving if the trade zone designation goes through. So, if you're arguing against it on economic grounds or not paying enough taxes grounds, you're still getting a big boost. But Monsanto is a very unpopular company among many people on the left, and curiously enough, Ali Miller on the right. I don't know which way the suits are likely to go on this. I would guess that at the end of the day, they'll go ahead and approve it, because they have been trying to push economic development as much as possible, and this certainly falls under that rubric, although the company does remain unpopular because of its business practices in terms of patenting seeds and requiring farmers to buy new seeds and sort of investigating farmers who might be using their seeds without permission. And I certainly sympathize with farmers on that front. I think they go a little overboard in terms of the patenting.
Their business processes are very much under fire by a lot of people, and the fact that these are certainly a buzzword, but they're genetically modified mm-hmm. foods, and that gets a whole lot of people riled up, and some of those folks who get riled don't exactly delve too deeply into the science of all of this stuff, but they do get very stirred up by that phrase.
They have very deep pockets, by the way, Monsanto. They merged with probably one of the largest pharmaceuticals in the world, Bayer. So I think how many billion dollar merger that was doesn't come to the top.
More money than we can fathom.
It's unbelievable. they're right up there. Mr. Huckleberry's contract will be coming up for renewal in January, and with the really not that much of a change with the board, we'll have a new board member in Steve Christie coming on. But you would assume, Jim and Dylan, that Mr. Huckleberry will, if he wants it, will take a renewal.
You know, I think that this puts any one of the supervisors who wants to condition their vote into kind of a catbird seat. It's not as if the three in the board majority, Steve Christie said he will not vote to renew the contract. You know, the other three, the three Democrats on the board, don't always see perfectly eye to eye with Chuck Huckleberry.
That's true.
You know, there have been areas of disagreement here and there, and if it could be, any or all of them could, try and force a shift in policies mm-hmm. that they are, have been a little bit concerned about in order to renew that.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I think that, I think Sharon Bronson and Ramon Valadez are certainly willing to go forward with that. Richard Elias has had some unhappiness with Huckleberry in recent years, and he may find himself an ally of Ali Miller and Steve Christie, although that would be a very curious alliance.
Or at least extracting some concessions that he's mm-hmm. been more concerned about, and maybe a shorter term for a contract.
Yeah, it could be very interesting.
But, there was a surprise vote, actually, a couple of weeks ago at the supervisors' meeting where Ali Miller voted in favor of the of Huckleberry's proposed legislative agenda, which was very unusual because it's filled with things that Ali Miller doesn't support. And it's not exactly clear what happened there. I did call Supervisor Miller to find out exactly why she voted in favor of it and haven't heard back from her, but I suspect she was just a little confused by what was happening there, and it wasn't really a vote in support. But
Maybe there was something in there that she thought was, outweighed the things she doesn't like.
All right, Jim Nintzel, you've got 10 seconds to promote your television show.
It's a radio show right now. We're going to bring the TV show back on a monthly basis starting in January, but right now it's a radio show. On KXCI, Steve Kosachik for a half hour talking about a whole bunch of city issues, 5 p.m., 91.3 FM. Tune in.
Okay, Jim, have a great one. Thanks a lot. All the best
to you.
Thanks a lot. Jim Nintzel and Dylan Smith. Dylan, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch with Matt Russell next. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Right, Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Mr. Matt Russell, also an award-winning publicist, brought to us by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Whether it's scenic drives, great birding, hiking trails, the Gila National Forest and Wilderness in Silver City's backyard, anybody say road trip, just 3 hours east of Tucson, check out southwestnewmexico.org, a full listing of 24 or so fine places to stay, and a like number of recreational activities. Let's bring in now Mr. Russell, and something tells me he's got a new brewery opening.
Boy, you could barely keep up with the, with the development of these, Bill. Believe it or not, another brewery has just opened in Tucson. It brings the grand total to around 20 breweries now, all satisfying our collective thirst. Now, the new kid on the block is the Crooked Tooth Brewing Company. Don't ask me what that means, Bill, but they're already attracting large crowds. 228 East 6th Street, which for decades, of course, was the old Charlie's Auto Service. Now, they're going to be planning to rotate to several beers at a time with the current lineup, including an IPA, a mango pale ale, and a pumpkin porter. I say it sounds like a great way to get the weekend off and running, Crooked Teeth and all, and they're open right now.
I can see the graphic now on those beer bottles. Hey, Barrio Breads has just almost a cult following.
You know, you're right. And for the last couple of years, local baker Don Guerra, he really has built this large and loyal fan base. People say his breads are the best in the world. In fact, Bill, even the New York Times featured him in a story not too long ago, but now he's gone from farmers markets to an actual bakery proper called Barrio Breads on the southwest corner of Broadway and Country Club. Now, he's making about 20 different artisan breads on Tuesdays through Saturdays, from European rye to a rustic olive. But you better get there early tomorrow morning at when he opens at 9 o'clock, because he says when it's gone, it is gone.
We'll know this Sunday for our Nova Home Loans bowl game and all the other bowl games. It's College Selection Day, Sunday coming up.
It absolutely is, and we're only 4 weeks away from kickoff, if you can believe that, for the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl right here in Tucson, and we're going to find out this Sunday who the two college football teams are that are going to be bringing their game to Tucson, and to make it a huge party, it's all going to be done at Cerveza's Taco Garage at 1 o'clock on Sunday. They're going to be pulling out all the stops. They're going to be featuring their famous garage sale happy hour all day long, food and beer specials, giveaways, and some special surprises. It really is kind of a delicious way to kick off bowl season on Sunday at Cerveza's. I'll be there. I'll be looking for your listeners.
What's in the column?
Well, Bill, there are some big dishes in town that are so big, the word big is actually in their names. Can you handle the heft, Bill? Check it out this week in my column in Inside Tucson Business.
I can handle heavy lifting. Thank you so much, Matt. Good weekend to you, buddy.
Cheers, Bill.
All right. This Sunday on Liberty Watch, the people who want to bypass the Electoral College visiting for an hour at 11 o'clock Sunday morning, the spark should fly, so tune in to them getting both barrels of Liberty Watch from Mr. Charles Heller. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for its content on behalf of Tom Fairbanks and the entire team here at KVOI. And my team, Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, all of us are wishing you a very safe, sound weekend. Be careful out there. A lot of people starting already that Christmas rush beginning. It's only 3 weeks away, Tom, you know. So on behalf of all of us, have a great weekend.